People were like, "Well, did you have a heart attack? Were you having a heart attack or something?" I'm like, no, but the ache and pain that I was feeling was shooting down my left arm from just so much anger, frustrations, resentment, failures, you know.
All right, happy quarantine. Welcome to the show. This is the show where we talk all about love, lust, relationships, dating, science, philosophy, psychology, biology, all that stuff because it kind of relates to, well, it does relate. So if you're listening to the show here on iTunes, then give us a little 5-star review, subscribe, tell a friend. If you're listening to this or watching us on YouTube, then hit that notification button, hit that subscribe button as well, so you won't ever have to look for another episode again. I'm excited for this conversation that we're about to have with my friend Gwen. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Gwen. We're just going to jump right in and we're going to talk a little bit about, how this quarantine has affected you so far and like the things that you've been thinking about. During this time, because I know it's tumultuous. It's brings a lot of different things for a lot of different people. So let's just start there.
Yeah, thank you, Robin. Thank you for having me. This has been exciting to look forward to. I've never done any of this, so something new for me for sure. But I am so blessed that you are allowing me to be a part of this with you.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming on the show because I know like we've had conversations. I mean, we've met was it 2018, I think it was, but we met 2017 in a personal development course, but
Right.
2018 was when we officially met. Loved your
In
energy,
person.
loved your vibe in person. Yeah, loved
In
your
person.
vibe, loved your energy. Saw you again last year, and then it was just like, Gwen would be a really, really good person to talk to on this show because we've been through some similar things, right?
Right.
So we'll talk a little bit. We'll get into all that, but I just want to know how you've been holding up, during all this quarantine and stuff.
Yeah, I've been an emotional roller coaster.
Like most, yeah.
Like I'm sure like many people have, I've in the beginning I was very nonchalant about the whole virus thing coming about. I didn't and changed my life the way it has changed for the world. People were washing hands, cover your face, and I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm in decent health. Like I'm pretty good, I keep myself maintained, I'm working out. And for me, it was more like those that are getting sick or being affected is probably had some health issues going on to begin with. And of course, they were saying the elderly, so I was sort of those people or anybody in any areas that are not cleansing or clean in that sense. I always find myself to be a clean person and healthy and try to, I have my ups and downs with my health. Eating habits. I have good days and bad days, but for the most part, I keep myself, on track. When I'm bad, then I know I have to change to my good eating habits again. So, I'm sorry.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just gonna say that that kind of takes care of itself. When I work out, like it just shoots endorphins into me so that I just it changes my st it alters my state and I automatically feel better just from working out. And so
Yeah, I
yeah,
get
that's
into my, if I don't work out, if I don't push myself, I honestly suffer from depression. I have family history of depression, so I can easily dive into that in a heartbeat, like in seconds. I can just dive myself into the sofa and go right out and feel sorry for myself and put myself in such deep darkness, and then I don't feel good. That makes me even feel worse. So I push myself and I almost feel like there's that like invisible me, like dragging myself out to get out of that point of state, you know? And it's a struggle every day to get out of that. Being alone too, not being in a relationship is tough too in that sense. Not having their that physical being to to get away from the depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned something, you know, I always ask people to send me a little short bio, and you mentioned something in there about having, you know, always being in a relationship. You weren't always, you're just getting used to being, you know, alone and not having codependency issues or not having to do or rely on another person for that. And that's kind of like where we were kind of leading into a little bit. So what are some things, you know, other than working out that you've done that kind of pushes you out of that state of mind so that, you know, you don't fall into the couch, you don't fall into that state where you feel like crap and you don't, you're not motivated to kind of do anything afterwards?
Reaching out to people. There are times where I've just picked up my phone and text messaged someone, hey, how are you doing? How's it going? I was thinking of you, just wanted to reach out. And I've gotten great feedback with that. People are like, oh my God, thank you so much for reaching out. I've been feeling like shit and shitty. I don't know, if, can I say bad words?
This is not a family-friendly show, don't worry.
You know, and they just very grateful that I even reached out. But to be honest, I'm reaching out mostly for, you know, selfishness too, just get myself out of it, you know. But it turns around that someone else is just feeling the same way I am. And by me just reaching out, I uplifted them in some way or form. And that gives me gratitude in that sense. And just not as consistent with it as I like to be. But again, it's just the emotional or mental part of it, depending on the day or the moment or the mood or situation, where it's like there's days I don't want to talk to anyone, you know?
I feel that too, because yeah, for sure. I absolutely feel you on there, where it could lead into this isolation mode. And that's where I got, actually, when I was just breaking up with my ex-wife. It was pure just depression, just drinking all the time and not taking care of my body, not taking care of my mind, and falling into a hole, basically, of depression. And it was tough to get out, like I said. But I didn't do what you said there, which was like rely on the people around me as, you know, like I didn't reach out to my friends or my family as much as I should. Because I got this piece of advice afterwards. You know, someone told me to rely on your friends a little bit more, you know, reach out to them. You'd be surprised at, you know, how much they're willing to help you. Because I thought, you know, it was almost shameful to kind of come to them with this stuff, right?
It almost feels like sometimes I feel like if I reach out, you know, same thing on social media, if I put something on social media, it's like, and you put in, and people are like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then it almost feels like a petty request, like feel sorry for me kind of thing. And I also didn't want to do that either, you know? It's kind of a hard thing to either accept or do for yourself, you know? I'm always the type of person that, like, I rather do for others than to do for myself. I feel, you know, I feel happiest when I'm helping others than helping myself, which is a struggle too, because then I don't take care of me in that sense. I worry too much about others. After my divorce, I mean, I went for a good, almost a year of feeling what heartbreak really meant and heartache really meant. Like, it was actual a physical vibration. Like, I almost felt like people were like, well, did you have a heart attack? Were you having a heart attack or something? Like, no, but the ache and pain that I was feeling was shooting down my left arm from just so much anger, frustrations, resentment, failures, you know, what could I've done better? Things of that nature. So it took a while to get out of that. And then feeling the part of like, oh my God, I'm going to be alone now. I've never done this, you know?
Yeah, this is probably the longest time I've been single for a long time, actually. It was the same kind of course that you took. You know, we talked a little bit off air about how, you know, we were constantly in relationships. We've never taken a break. It was always like back to back to back. And you know, now is just a time where I'm just like, you know, I could get comfortable, a little too comfortable like this, you know, but I do value relationships and I do value connection and I do value family. So, you know, this is kinds of the things that we talk about now, because, you know, in the future, you know, I don't want to make the same mistakes that I did from prior to, right? So, you know, there's a lot of things that I had to kind of unwire and undo so that I can, you know, make way for, you know, a more prosperous future, the one that I envisioned, you know, whatever that was, whether it be a family or not. You know, so what's something that, like, I don't know, I guess this is kind of like, I ask this question a lot to people who are divorced. If you could take it all away and, or not take it all away, and if you could take a lesson from all of that, you know, like, what would that one all-encompassing lesson that, you know, and or something that you would pass off to your child, you know, some sort of advice that you would give, you know, based off that experience alone, marriage
and
divorce?
The lesson for me that I'm learning is figuring out who you are before being with anyone else, and accepting who you are and what makes you happy. You know, that's kind of hard. That's a hard thing for me, because I know, I mean, my mom's the same way, where it's like making other people happy makes me happy, but then I give too much in that regards to others. And then when I'm with myself and I don't know what to do with myself, I'm unhappy, you know? Yeah, so
I feel you on that. That people pleasing, I got into that as well. Like, it was hard to get out of. It's not something that I don't do anymore. I love to please others. I love to serve others. It's not that I don't still do it. I just am choosy now. And I also know how to spot the people who are going to manipulate you for that, like who just want to use you for that. They're not actually trying to build a genuine connection with you. They're just, you know, you feel as if like, they want something from you, they have, or you have something that they want or something like that. You just get that vibe. And so now I can kind of suss those people out better than before. Sometimes it's hard to really, really tell, but yeah, it's getting better now. I still think that's a great quality to have. And I think, you know, it's just you being choosy about who you kind of give it to is really important, right? I mean, that's what I learned along that journey. The hard way, you know, because yeah, I attracted a lot of people that just took advantage of me. So,
yeah, and I think just realizing compatibility with a person too helps, knowing not only yourself, but, you know, diving into the other person too. You know, they may have things that, yeah, you guys get along great with. That there's other things that are not in that sense. So knowing what fits together. I'm a little about astrology in a sense. So I like to dive into those things a little bit too, to find out, you know, personality, characteristic traits and stuff. Like, I've been doing a lot of that, a little bit of research in that too. So who am I compatible with? What works in that sense? Or, you know, in my relationship before, like, what was that like in the compatibility of the astrology level? Like, now I understand a little bit more of why we didn't work. You know, it's just, it doesn't align right in some way or form. So I've been learning a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, those things are super important, not just like astrology, but just like any of those like personality tests, like really just dive into who you are. And compatibility is so important, like the value system that you have versus another person's value system. Because like, if you're, I don't know, if you're one way and the other person is the other way, that might be what attracts you guys at the very beginning, but that could be the very reason why you guys break up, because you guys are so different. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you have like the value system and that compatibility, like when you talk compatibility, it's those value systems that need to match up, right? It's like, how do you find that out? Well, you take a deep dive into who you are. Like, you know, and astrology is definitely one of those things that a lot of people will think it's like, oh, it's so hokey. But I don't know, I enjoy it. I think it's something to be said that, you know, the time of year that you're born affects, you know, a lot of the things that happens in your life. I really do.
I agree. Like they say, you know, what you put out into the world, you receive in return, so to speak. You know, what you ask for God is what he gives you, or what you don't ask is what he gives you, you know? So it all depends in that sense. So I don't know. It is just something that I feel like may contribute towards a healthier relationship, maybe, you know, or better. Maybe having a better partner or better, you know, whatever scenario can work better.
No, that's good. No, that's cool. You know, I think everything that you said there, I agree with 100%, you know, especially, and it doesn't have to be a divorce. I mean, like any breakup really, I mean, kind of find yourself, right? A lot of people look outwards and try to grab like substances or the next thing to kind of numb them or distract them from, you know, the real inner work. So no, this is great. I think it's really important. So let's fast forward now. Like, I mean, you're obviously doing a lot on like the side hustle side of things now, because, you know, that's kind of how we met. We were like in this personal development space. You always wanted more. You're obviously realizing there's more out there. And now you're just kind of you were talking about it. You're going to have to break it down a little bit better than I did, but it was like this infinite banking thing that you were mentioning to me a little bit about. So you don't have to break down the whole thing, but just tell me how you, like, why you got into that, because I think that's really important, because it's not something that most people actually think about nowadays, right? Like finances and things, and that teaching is not there. So
So I got into it. My friend of mine, we actually just became friends about 2 years ago, who I was introduced by a third party and stuff. But I initially wanted to get into becoming an entrepreneur, finding ways to make an income and getting out of the 9-to-5 world. I've been in it so long. So I was diving into doing Amazon, like being a third party seller through Amazon. And I was with him for a year working on that to then turn around. He found this new financial world in regards to infinite banking. It's called infinite banking or infinite banking concept. Is banking on yourself. So through the vehicle of a whole life policy, which gets a lot of bad rep because everybody thinks whole life policy is just, you know, an expensive death benefit to purchase. But there are many ways to utilize infinite banking. Small or big, majority of people that would get involved would be people with more money, of course, but anybody who doesn't have any system or plan into building up their wealth for future wise, this would be a good way to start too. It has many benefits. It not only is a death benefit, but there's many living benefits towards it. With the way we bank on a regular basis every day, the banks do the same thing. They do, you know, they buy into the whole life policy as well, and they make money out of it as well, just like corporations, you know. So whatever money you're putting into the bank, while the bank is taking that money from you, they're reinvesting your money, whereas you can become the same thing. You could take your money and put it into your own policy or into your own banking system and utilize it where you're reaping the benefits. You can gain compound interest on it on a guaranteed basis. And you can utilize your money. You can utilize anywhere from 80 to 90% of your money right away to do whatever you choose to do with. Buy a house, buy a car, pay for your child's college, tuition, weddings, whatever the case may be. Now, it's not a quick get rich system. It's a long-term system. So there is some time to build up on it. But it is definitely more so on a guaranteed basis versus the market, where it's like up and down all the time. So you don't know things like this, like a virus situation where the market is, you know, crashing and losing, people are losing money left and right.
Yeah, this is actually, I just Googled it. This is actually a really interesting concept. I've never heard of it until you brought it up to me, but it is exactly everything you explained there. I'm just going to give a little bit of what it says. It says infinite banking refers to a process by which an individual becomes his or her own banker. In a nutshell, you become your own banker. And I think it said the concept was created by Nelson Nash. So you guys can Google that and look into that. If you have more questions, you can ask Gwen about that. I'll put her at in this video. But it's not a scam. It says that it's a risk. It's a risk-based investment, but it's better than a high growth savings account. Basically, if you put your money in a savings account, you might earn, let's say, like a 1 point or 2 points off of that savings account. What you're saying is it could be any amount higher than one or two, but it's just this compounding effect that you're going to be making so much, and it keeps more of that into your pocket, is what you're saying, right? So what happens if
Absolutely.
you make some money, you want to take it out? Is it work kind of like the same as like capital gains if you were to win like money in the stock market, or if you were to like invest somewhere, you know, in real estate, you pull out the money in with the earnings? Is it like capital gains, or how does that kind of work out? How does that work?
So basically it's similar to a 401k where most people have 401ks or IRAs, correct? So whenever
In
you
Canada,
make
we call them RRSPs, but yeah, they're like in the US, it's like the 401k, yeah, the
Right.
401k or
So
IRA Roth
you would
account.
utilize it in that sense where if you needed to borrow money, you'd borrow the money. So you borrow the money from yourself. This would be your money. It's your and you would want to treat your money the same way you want to treat any third party people that you're paying money back to from the loan that you're borrowing, you're paying interest and stuff. So the only thing is with this, it's there's no penalties. There's no penalties. You're not taxed. If you don't have to wait till you're 59 to take out the money out right away if you need it for hardships or anything for that matter. So you pretty much are free to come and go with your own financial purposes of why you need to use this money, in a sense, as long as you're paying your fees, your dues, you're paying yourself. You're paying yourself basically. This is just your vehicle. You control it. You do, and of course, with the company I work with, we have agents and we have strategists. We not only do we open this bank system up for you, but we work with you to follow through a mapping quest or a mapping road to whether if you're in debt, you want to get out of debt. We can help you get out of debt at a much faster rate. If you want to find a way to save for a big investment you want to do down the line, we will help you to do that as well. So everything is all mapped out for you. You know exactly from start to finish when you will pay off your car or when you will pay off your debt or when can you afford to buy that house in time and stuff. So it's all planned out, all mapped out for you. It's cool. It's a cool concept. Again, it gets a lot of bad rep. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of naysayers, but
Well, I mean,
if
all naysayers are people who are just broke people anyway. They have no money, so they're just looking for things to save and bring people down with them. And so, I mean, that's where most of the criticism comes from, right? But I think what you're saying is just do
I get
your
it
own
from both sides, people
research.
with money and people with no money. So it all depends. Well, remember, we're also used to such a system for so many years that we've been dealing with for so many years that banks and corporations use this banking, the infinite banking, but it's not common. So, the average people, you and I, would not know about it because we don't, it's not a common thing, but can the average person do it? Absolutely. You and I can do it. Anyone can do it. It's just a matter of it being taught to others to understand that they can do it. And I guess you're right. Finding the resources, reading up on it. You're going to have pros and cons with everything you do in life. So it all depends on what's suitable. It may not be for everybody, but for for me, it made sense. And I just, I feel
so
like.
So who would be like the ideal person then? Like if, is it like a single mom? Is it a single dad? Is it somebody who is got like someone in their future that they need to think of, or can just any random person just, you know, with a regular 9-to-5 job say, okay, you know what, I have X amount of dollars I want to put aside.
Yeah, it could be for anybody. Start that way? It could be for anybody. It could be, I mean, especially single parents too, especially when they're feeling like, you know, down the line in the future, all they see is them working hard for their money, you know, and there's no other income source coming in. This could be a way of a passive income where you're making your money work for you in the long run, you know, and not have to work that much harder later on in life. You know, that's how I saw it. Like, I don't want to work hard as I get older. I want to enjoy life, you know, especially with my kid. And then not the biggest reward too is at the end of, you know, this too, like if the day I pass on, my son will have something for him to continue with. Like that would be my legacy to him.
100%. You know? Yeah, things don't change for people until they have kids. And I'm saying, oh God, I sound like my parents right now. it's so true. When you have these little things running around, it almost changes your perspective into this like complete new universe. And I think people who have, I guess, legacy or children, so to say, that they want to, you know, think forwardly about, because it was tough for, you know, me growing up, even though that I did have a pretty decent life, I didn't have the best life, but it was okay. We got by. But obviously if the struggle of money wasn't there, the quality of our life probably would have gone up. And I know this, I know the quality of our life would have gone up. My parents probably would have had less fights or about money or whatever, what have you. And, you know, there would be just less issues regarding that. So, I think anybody who, you know, doesn't take wealth seriously needs to really just kind of, you know, you take this quarantine and this time out to be like, okay, let's get my finances in order. Let's start thinking future wise and let's start thinking like, you know, ahead of the thing. Cause like something's going to happen again, like something bad is going to happen like this. Like who knows what next it'll be, what next pandemic, you know, but we need to be prepared.
Yeah, that was my thing too, is I've always been codependent on somebody, whether it's my mom, whether it's my ex-husband. I worked, I made average salary, but it, for me living in New York, you know, expenses are much higher and you always want to do the good stuff in life. You want to, you know, go on trips, you want to go out, you want to buy your clothes, you want to do this, but it was, for me, I didn't hustle enough to make that extra step in money purposes. So for me, again, my thing was like, yeah, I want to make more money. I just don't want to work that much harder to earn it. So how can I find the happy medium? You know, I want to be able to still have a life. I don't want to be those people that only work and work and work and don't enjoy life. I want to be the opposite. I want to make the money, you know. So, you know, learning a lot about passive income and how that can work for me is where I'm gearing towards, like, you know, for myself and for my son, and just to live a lifestyle where I can come and go as I feel free, in a sense. So my that's one of my big words, is free, being free.
Yeah, like not just like, I think at the end of the day, you know, money freedom equals time freedom. And I think that's what we're looking for, is just time freedom. Everyone wants to be free of whatever stress that the world puts on us about, we need to do this and that, and so on and so forth. But yes, take your wealth seriously. I bet you in 10 years, Gwen, like, things will be so much better for you, and you're going to be like, oh my God, thank God I did this 10 years ago, because if I didn't, then I would be in the same position in this next pandemic, because I'd be like, fuck, you know, like, what am I supposed to do? So definitely anybody who's interested in this infinite banking concept, I would learn from Gwen if you're in a situation like hers, if you're like, you know, obviously in a situation where you're like, okay, you know what, I got to think bigger. I need to think, you know, more long term. I have a kid, I have, you know, people I want to pass my legacy off of to. And there's other things as well. Like when I look into relationships, I don't want to rely on anybody for anything. I just want to be able to be self-sufficient, and I don't need no, you know, no guy for those types of things, right? I mean, we need each other for certain types of things, but it's like, you know, we need to have our bases covered before, right? And I think that's what you're getting at right now, which is so important.
Yeah, I want to know that I can stand on my own 2 feet with, you know, no one else's support but my own. Again, I'm not denying the support. I'm just saying I want to know that I can do that for myself, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I mean, in relationships, it's not like, hey, we're completely independent. There's an area where we're going to rely on each other for certain things. There's going to be a level of codependence, but not to the extreme amount where, oh my God, it's the end of the world. I'm going to die without this person, right?
Like,
it's like, you know, you have a little bit of your life. Exactly. And you know what? Sometimes people get to that, and that's the sad thing, right? And, you know, we'll hopefully leave a little bit of wisdom off for them, you know, at the end of the show. But I do want to take you to a part of the show where we get to know you a little bit deeper. I'm going to ask you some 5 random questions here. I call it the random 5. People have been saying, yeah, this is kind of cool. You should keep it in the show. I used to do this when I first started my podcasting journey, and I took it out. But then people are like, no, you should keep it in there. So we're going to do the random 5. Are you ready for that?
Okay.
All right. Shoot. All right. If you could be any animal in the world, what animal would you be and why?
Ooh. Let's see. Well, currently my animal is a butterfly because I'm crawling my way into freedom. So, and like being that. Able to fly. But I want to be also a fierce tiger.
Nice. Is there a favorite book that you have, or is there something that you're reading that you like to share with us right now?
I'm currently, I'm reading kind of a few books, but currently I'm I forgot the name now. It's a speaking book to be able to speak and communicate better currently. Oh God, I can't think of the name, I'm sorry.
It's all good. I get what you're into. You're basically into self-development books, which is cool. Like, I think that's
I am definitely into that, yes.
I'm always reaching for those too. I'm not really into fiction books at all. Like, I don't ever reach for like story time type of novels. I don't know, that's just me.
Right.
But anyhow, when this is all over, if you could hop on a plane, obviously not right now, but if you can go anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
Where would it be? I want to go to Europe. I've been dying to go to Europe. I want to just see the beautiful architect and landscapes and beaches.
Definitely climb the name.
Yeah. Would love that. I need a good trip like that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I want to do is backpack all throughout Europe, like land somewhere in like UK, just go to like Paris, Italy, you know, France, like just do all of the, even just like the Scandinavian countries. I wouldn't even mind doing that too. That'd be dope.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm a nature person, so anything that nature that's form on its own or created on its own, it's, like I admire just beauty, and then I also admire architects, some of the amazing buildings that we have in the world. Just fascinates how people put things together, how they build things, you know.
Yeah, love that. Okay, if you had to meet anyone who has passed away and have a conversation, who would it be and why? It doesn't have to be a famous celebrity or anything.
My grandma. I don't know. I just with before when she passed away, she the one thing she always wanted to for me to have was a child. She wanted to you know, be around for when I had my child, and that didn't happen. So I'd like to see her and, you know, introduce her to my son.
Well, I don't know. I've always believed in spirits. So I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. they're just always watching over us and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I think she is. Definitely is. My apartment that I got was like kind of a weird thing where I wanted the apartment that I saw originally in the complex and I was denied. And then this one came up and it ended up being so much cheaper than the one I was looking at. So I think my grandmother sure. has something to do that, do yeah. Something with that.
For sure. All right. The last question of the random five. Do you have any weird eating habits? Do you ever get called out for anything at the dinner table?
No, not to my knowledge. Weird eating habits.
Pretty regular eater.
I just don't. Yeah, I don't like anything mushy. So I don't like anything mushy. I don't eat anything anything mushy. Like my vegetables, I'd rather have them just blanched. I can't eat mushy vegetables. And I don't eat a lot of vegetables to begin with. So the few that I do eat, it has to be very like blanched and crispy. yeah, it's weird. So anything chewy and mushy, I just, and I hate cilantro.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's like a smell. It's like there's like a receptor or something in your nose that like automatically like wants to throw up after you smell it. So,
well, that was the one thing my grandmother did. She always sprinkled it all over the food and used to make us eat it. And I used to always gag. So that wasn't my favorite thing.
Yeah, but the mushy thing, I get you. I hate things that are mushy. Like I need texture. I don't know what it was. I think it brings me back to like when maybe my parents tried to like stuff baby food down my throat and I was just like, ew, what is this? And it just gives that gag reflex. I need that mushy feeling. I probably like, don't like bananas too much, even though I know they're like super healthy. Just that texture.
The mushiness.
Yeah. But okay, that brings us to the end of the random five. I appreciate that. I just want to take a little moment and first of all congratulate you on your birthday. It's your birthday today, and this is an awesome gift that you're giving me and our guests on your birthday, which I think is very super selfless and awesome. And you know, I just think that you know, it just says so much about your character. And you know, I appreciate having people like that in around me. It feels really nice. And so I just can't thank you enough for coming on the show and being vulnerable and sharing a little bit of what you went through and also being able to come out the other side, you know, so beautiful and so positive and just looking so forward to life. And so thank you for that. Thank you for showing up.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. And so where can people touch base with you? Where can they get in hold of you? Is it Instagram is your preferred, or do you like Facebook? Where do you like to hang out mostly?
Yeah, mostly Instagram, but I have Instagram and Facebook. So my Instagram is Gwen Soba, and my Facebook is also Gwendolyn Soba.
Okay, cool. I'll put those at her at if you guys want to get curious about the whole infinite banking. And if not, if you just want to ask her about her, you know, her experiences and stuff like that, get curious, you know, give her a follow on social media. I'll put that in the show notes. I'm going to take you to the last bit of our show. And I ask this question to every single person. And it's because most people find me after a divorce or separation, basically a heartbreak. And heartbreak doesn't have to be relationship oriented. Sometimes people, you know, bankruptcy can lead into heartbreak, death in the family and such and so on and so forth. But basically, when somebody's just down and out, like, what would you say to that person?
You really need to become self-aware. I think self-awareness is huge in any given circumstance situation. Like, what am I bringing to the table, or why am I thinking this way? What's good, what's not good? What works, what doesn't work, you know, in every aspect. I think which is the same thing that happened with my relationship. You know, even though we didn't work as a married couple, we work as friends. And that to me is huge in that regards, because we have this beautiful boy that connects us together. So as much as, you know, whatever's not working or whatever struggles we go through, it's finding that pull, that energy that makes you aware of you, of yourself. How can I make myself better? How can I get to a better place mentally, physically, in that sense? And it's a challenge every day. You know, being yourself, being within yourself is a challenge every day, you know, understanding why you do certain things and how to come out better each day, each moment in a better light. And even just speaking about this for myself reminds me of it, you know, like I said, I can easily dive into depression so quickly. So just talk. I mean, I realize that when I talk and I speak to people, or I have an intellectual conversation about this, the emotions that I go through and stuff, it helps big time. It does help. It feels freeing, which is hence my word, free. And it's a challenge to try to do that every day. So finding those people that you can feel comfortable with and actually tell your story and tell your moods and your emotions that you're going through in that moment, and that, you know, allowing to share that and be open with them and they accepting you for it, that's cool too. That's definitely a key thing. So just becoming self-aware, I mean, and do whatever possible you can do. Take courses, take workshops, take read and stuff. Like, you know, I have done emotional training classes, and some people say, oh, it's the cult, you know, getting into those things. And then it's you drinking the Kool-Aid and, you know, because you're so happy all of a sudden, you know. But I think it's awesome when I do it, you know, when I go to these things and I feel connection. I feel, you know, I even feel like people tell me I'm like the queen and I'm so powerful. And it's just a, such a great uplifting feeling, you know. So just be self-aware and do the things that you can do to make yourself that much better each time, each moment.
Love it. Gwen, thank you so much for that beautiful response, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I love you. You're awesome. I love you.